Every champion has a team behind them. And for thousands of families without insurance, Christ Clinic is that team. At Christ Clinic in Katy, Texas, they provide high-quality, faith-based health care to people who can't afford it. Because everyone deserves a shot at health, no matter their income or insurance status. Their doctors, volunteers, their mission, rooted in compassion. Their impact, over 10,000 patient visits every year and growing. But they can't do it without help from fans like you. If you ever cheered for a comeback story, this is your chance to be a part of one. Donate today at ChristClinicKaty.org and help them keep the doors open for those who need it most. One gift can be the difference between surviving and thriving. Christ Clinic in Katy, where health meets hope and faith goes to work. That's Christ Clinic Katy, spelled KATY.org. Team up with them today.
And welcome to another edition, another moment, another pure place on that dial where time itself leaks. And in that place, we bring incredible guests, like massively intelligent guests, to make that leak, not to fix it, but to make it a lot more interesting. And I'm your host, Guy Sengstock.
That's so great. Yeah. I just love how we didn't even come up with the name of our show. The AI did.
Yeah.
And it's so good. We could just make the leaking timeline even leakier. Yeah. Yeah, but we just make it even leakier every episode.
And by the way, this is my co-host.
Oh, hey, Eric Newton. Hey, everybody.
Very welcome. Welcome, Eric. And we have a very special, special treat for you today. You know, and I want to say there was this miracle happening because we had these two guests that were going to come in that were going to talk about their business, and we got a call today saying that they're going to break up and there's going to be an possible lawsuit. So that didn't work out so well, but actually it benefits you because we have two new guests named Guy Sengstock.
And Eric Newton. And
Eric Newton.
Here we are.
And we are going to explore the depths of whatever it is that Eric wants to talk about and wherever that leads.
Which is death. I'm telling you, I've been wanting to have the death conversation on our show for quite some time. And but we never quite have the opportunity because we always have guests come on.
Yeah.
And I've been wanting to talk to you about death. You're one of the few people I know who can actually approach the conversation openly. Mm. You know, it seems like... So look, it's hard to say anything about love or death that isn't completely trite.
Yeah.
Right? We've all the poets have done it. The philosophers have done it. It's an explored topic. There's not much we're going to add to it.
Yeah.
At the same time, people, for some reason, can't look at it.
Yeah.
They can't look squarely at it.
Yeah.
And I can't even do it most of the time.
Right.
And I'm saying that, and I just walk through it with my wife and et cetera. Every time I do, it pays such huge emotional dividends.
Right.
And that's what I wanted to talk about.
And I would even say that people who do look at death and talk about death, that oftentimes they're not actually talking about death.
Honey, look. Four calling birds.
Do they have cell phones?
Well, yeah. They're called calling birds because they have four lines of Cricket 5G.
How do they pay?
Oh, easy. Each line is only $25 a month.
Who are they calling?
Beats me. One sec, gotta take this.
Join Cricket Nation and get four lines for $25 per month each. Smile, you're on Cricket.
Cricket may temporarily slow data speeds if the network is busy. New lines only. All lines must be selected. Unlimited plan fees. Terms and restrictions apply. Cricket 5G requires a compatible device and is not available everywhere. See cricketwireless.com for details.
I've got a question for you. Do you want a lower car payment just by making a phone call? You know, most people buy a car and they pay whatever the car dealer says their interest rate is, and they forget about it and make payments. But did you know there is a secret in your contract that allows another company to refinance any car payment to try and lower it? It's true. There is indeed a company out there that knows the ins and, more importantly, the outs on car loans, and they know how to lower your current car payments. It's easy and fast, and you could have a lower car payment next month. Make this free call right now and find out if you could lower your existing car payment. Call the Car Savings Hotline right now. The call is free.
Call now. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. 800-605-1680. That's 800-605-1680.
Have you suffered sports betting losses? There is someone who wants to fight for you to see you get back what you have lost to those sports betting companies. Michael Watts is a prolific trial lawyer with over $11 billion in total recoveries for his clients. And now with sportsbettingclaim.com, he'd like to help you. Michael has been a leader in some of the largest and most complex cases in the country, from defective cars and tires to damaging drugs and medical products. He has always represented the rights of individuals harmed by large corporations. His efforts recently resulted in the recovery of billions for individuals who lost their properties to fires carelessly caused by electric companies and others. Michael knows that sports betting companies preyed on and manipulated consumers into losing their life savings, and he wants to make them pay. If you have suffered financial hardship as a result of online sports betting and would like help seeking compensation, please submit your claim information for evaluation at sportsbettingclaim.com. Michael Watts is focused on winning for you. Sportsbettingclaim.com.
Blue sky.
Some people think nature is like this, but actually, it's like this. Mother Nature's not all sunshine and rainbows. Nature can be hotter than a sauna and colder than an Arctic skinny dip. That's why Columbia engineers everything we make for anything nature can throw at you. Columbia, engineered for whatever.
Welcome back to The Leaking Timeline with Eric and Guy. You can join the conversation if you dare at 800-878-7529. We look forward to hearing from you, even though we are going to be talking about death. You know, okay, so we were just ending the last segment talking about this notion. People get pretty triggered around the topic. And it's the inverse is also true. I wanted to tell you this brief story. So I... this last weekend, an old buddy came to visit, one of my closest friends. And, you know, I haven't seen him in a couple of years. We talked about all the stuff. And invariably, we talked about different business models. And there's a particular business model I've been giving a lot of thought to lately, which is the general business models around longevity and well-being. And you can't talk about that space without talking about Brian Johnson, for one.
Yep.
Who's the, if anybody doesn't know who Brian Johnson is, he's the billionaire who's getting all the press. He sold Venmo. He got super depressed, almost committed suicide. And then he created a whole new kind of philosophy of life about longevity and extending lifespan as infinitely if possible. And so he does an immense amount of self-testing and self-experimentation, and his biomarkers are in great shape, and he is widely despised and widely panned because he's daring to question the orthodoxy of death and well-being and health and lifespan. So anyway, that all comes up. And my buddy just opens up the standard New York Times playbook and just starts just eviscerating the business model. Just, oh, how dare you try it? It's so awful that you would try to extend your life. Like, what kind of hubris do you have to do that? And, oh, it's only for the rich anyway. And that's just going to create more disparity in the world. And by the way, it's not going to work. So you're just wasting your money. And it's kind of like these were the three arguments all smooshed together, right? And he was very emotional about it. And each time I tried to tease apart one of the arguments to look at it, you know, for example, Well, if it's the rich people doing it, it's okay if they waste their money, possibly. You know, let them experiment, no big deal. Also, every technology always starts out expensive and then gets less expensive and more approachable for the masses, right? And also, why not? I like life. I want to extend it. Anyway, we didn't get anywhere with the conversation. And I just noticed people get so upset about facing death or discussing extending life. And I just don't know why. And I want to know if you have any thoughts about why that happens.
Yeah. First of all, I just don't think that we even know what death is. I think some of the things that we call death are actually just our demise. And I think I have a feeling that death is more, it's not a horizontal thing where, you know, horizontally we could say death is that point in the future that I will cease to be, right? But then there's this other way where somehow death is horizontal. Like we're always already going to die. And therefore that deep assumption, that deep understanding is like in every part of our posture, right? In every possibility that we reach for. Death is everywhere. And I think it's before us and beyond us, and we're in between it in some profound way. So I think there's just a lot of confusion about even what death is. I think when people talk about death, right, they think they're talking about death, but they're not actually talking about death.
Ah.
Yeah.
What are people talking about?
I think they're talking about their demise, right? Or if they say like we're going to, you know, there's life beyond death. That seems to be like a Kawasui project. This denial of death, right? This whole denial of death. But I think Brian...
Like life after death is denial of death.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's always struck me that way too.
Yeah.
It's like, well, if there's life after death, it's not death.
Yeah.
It's just different life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. And there's something else that's more sudden. Right? If there's life after death, it's got to end too.
Yes.
If we believe in something other than infinity in this way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. And I don't even think that we totally understand what I am in. I mean, it's so hard to describe what even a self is.
Yeah.
What right? is that? Yeah. Like, so how do we know how it dies or if it dies and the way it dies, right? Because on some level, we could say, in fact, I was talking to somebody the other day where a friend of mine who has had brain cancer come back, and he was getting ready to do the surgery, and he may not survive the surgery and all this kind of stuff. And I asked him, I was like, how do you feel about like dying? And he's like, well, it depends on how you think about it, right? Like when the water droplet falls into the lake, is the water droplet in the shape of the drop? Is it in the splash? Is the water droplet in the waves? Is it in the pattern of the waves that hit the sand? Is it in the sand? Is it right? There's this kind of element where it's like I think what we are is more of a between. Right, like in that sense that the water drop, it's like, well, where is the water drop actually? What do we call the water drop? It's somehow part of everything, yet distinct from everything, right, between everything. There's something mysterious going on there with that.
There's a kind of peace and surrender in what you're describing, but it strikes me that in order to get to that peace, you have to surrender an attachment to this personality.
Yeah.
You know, the construct that a lot of times people refer to as the ego.
Yeah.
And that's a tricky one.
Yeah, especially because the ego will take over that project of getting rid of itself. And
right, totally. And then it's all wrapped up. Totally. I remember, actually, that's funny. The first time I read any philosophy around this notion of ego death, which it was becoming better understood in society as a whole these days, but it's the notion that you can gain a lot of peace by surrendering your attachment to this fluid, dynamic, undefinable, construct that's mostly, arguably built largely on fear. You can let a lot of that go. There's a lot of peace on the other end. Started reading about that. And my ego thought, well, that would be really cool.
Right.
Like, how cool would I be?
Totally. Yeah.
I would be so cool. I'd be an even better identity. Wouldn't Eric be so great? And then it was like this whole circular suicide concept, this whole circular identity suicide concept that, of course, can go nowhere.
Totally. Totally. Yeah. So what Brian, back to Brian Johnson.
Yep.
You know, what he's talking about is interesting. My bias here, where I'm kind of at with it, or my instincts are when I hear people talk about living forever and all that kind of stuff, I'm just going, this is not going to happen, right? Like, I reformulated in my mind somehow as like, actually, maybe we could extend it, but like, the thing that really matters, if we can extend it and I can feel better and better, right? If that's the case, right? That I don't mind dying at 100 or whatever it is, right? There's a sense, I kind of get the sense that it's just not going to be possible to live forever, right? In the way that we understand living forever, So that's kind of like,
So your response to Brian Johnson is, hey man, go ahead. Do all the self-experimentation you can, learn everything you can, spend all your money because you're teaching us a lot about the human body. But it's probably not going to work, but that's okay.
Yeah, because it's teaching us a lot about the human body.
Yeah. Well, there it is. All right. Well, we'll be right back after these messages with more about death on Your Leaking Timeline.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
Hello, Americans. It's Uncle Sam here. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS or state, don't worry. I've got important news that may help you negotiate a lower tax bill. In today's economy, the IRS has released a variety of new rules and is offering more flexible terms to help Americans looking to settle their IRS debt. If you apply today, we may be able to lift your wage garnishments and release a freeze on your bank assets or business. Our team of tax professionals can resolve your case and stop collection actions against you. Even if you've been audited or haven't filed a return in years, they can help. Call right now and find out if you qualify to settle your IRS debt for far less than what you owe. Pick up your phone right now and call us for a free $500 IRS tax review. Don't wait. Here's the number.
Call right now. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. 800-943-9215. Again, for the last time, that's 800-943-9215.
Welcome back to Leaking Timeline. It's Eric and Guy here. We'd love to hear from you if you want to join the show at 800-878-7529. So, Guy, death.
Yeah, you know, I want to take this out of the abstract for a moment and kind of focus in on, like, the experience of being with someone who's dying, right? Like, it seems to me, and I think as you're listening, if you've had experience of this or you know people who've had experience with this, when people get close to death when they're alive, the relatives, even if they're not dying or they're just close to a person who is dying, or the dying themselves, something changes. Like, something changes. Like, what gets important becomes obvious. There's also that kind of quality where what you thought was important, and you may have spent your whole lifetime focusing on, you start to realize when you face death that that actually wasn't important. What was important was right under my nose, and I didn't realize it, right? There's this sense where when we get close to death and experience it, it has a dramatic impact about how life looks. And I know Eric, one of the things about Eric that I have a tremendous amount of respect for him for what it took to go through this, got married, had a child, and then his wife got cancer. And he basically stepped up and was the man of all men hosting what turned out to be the journey of her death.
I never thought of it in those terms. Hosting the journey of her death. Holy cow.
Isn't that kind of what you did?
I guess that's for her to say.
I mean, I know a lot of it was about, you know, you were trying to have her survive. You know, you were fighting for her life.
Yeah. We realized, you know, when we first got the call that she needed to go to the ER, you know, she had to pack up a bag and head off to the ER at 8 p.m. and I had to stay home with the kid. And we hoped it was, you know, we didn't think it was anything. It was just some weird blood work. The doctor had called and said, you need to go to the ER. And I got there the next morning and they'd been running tests all night. And when I got there, the doctors, a little team of doctors teaching hospital, so six of them, came and pulled us aside, and the ER was completely absolute madhouse, just stuffed with human beings in every possible corner, cots in the hallways. There's nowhere to go to have any privacy. And they found this little alcove and just kind of pulled us into this alcove, and their faces were just completely ashen. And as soon as I saw the demeanor of these doctors, I thought, oh, this wasn't some routine blood work. And they delivered the news, and her whole body was just covered in tumors, just everywhere. Her lungs, her kidneys, just everything. And our life went from basically as good as it could get to this completely other reality that it felt like I was in a bubble, you know? Felt like I was in a reality bubble, and that it was going to pop at any moment, like a dream of some sort. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we just held it together and decided we would learn more. And
of course, you know, no choice. Got admitted to the hospital, ran more tests, waited for more information. And I went home that night, and I remember I looked in her closet at her things. And that was when the emotion just hit me like a tidal wave. I looked at her things, and I thought, oh, my goodness, she may never see any of these things again. And then my daughter came home, and it was the same thought, of course, with regards to our little two-year-old. And that burst the bubble. That burst the dream bubble. But it entered us into a new stage.
Yeah.
And the new stage was characterized by, on one hand, what you said, just trying to, the majority of our energy into hope.
Like, yeah.
We are going to get through this. We're going to do everything that there is. We're going to do all the research.
Totally.
We're going to bring you the best possible food. We're going to get you the best hospitals, the best doctors. You have all the energy. You're going to do the emotional work. We're going to get through this. Yeah. But we also both were, I think, wise enough, if I can be so direct about it, to say we also need to face the possibility that it might not work.
Yeah.
And so we did a specific thing. We carved out 5-minute conversations once a day just about death, where we'd set a timer so that it wouldn't be overwhelming and too scary. And we would use that 5 minutes to just imagine what happens when she dies, and then just deal with all the issues. Which was great, because on one hand, we got to deal with all the logistical, you know, just the paperwork. Yeah. And, you know, we got an estate plan together, and we handled all her quote-unquote affairs.
Yeah.
But the more important part was that it gave us a mechanism to face all of the emotional issues that most people who have a loved one pass don't get the time to deal with, because it's usually sudden or there's too much complexity and they don't get to stop and just fully face the magnitude of the loss. And so,
wow. Can I ask you, what were some of the emotions that you guys faced together there?
You can imagine at first it was mostly trying to breathe through the fear.
Yeah, you know, just a lot of fear.
Absolute overwhelming fear.
Yeah.
For both of us, of what that experience, what it means.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, we got through the majority of the fear pretty quick.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you account for that?
There's something in allowing.
Yeah.
There's just something in allowing what is to be.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is in the human experience.
Yeah.
But when I just allow,
yeah,
there is so much peace.
Right.
And it doesn't mean giving up.
Right.
It just means allowing.
Right, right, right.
Is what actually is.
Right.
And then we could, you know, then we could breathe. And then after the fear passed and the allowing came, then we got to talk about all of the ways that we just loved each other.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the amazing thing about a marriage is that you almost take the love for granted, I think. Mm. In our marriage, we did. And we were aware of that problem. I mean, I developed a whole course on love and marriage in my previous life, and we tried to live by that course,
right,
for goodness sakes. And, you know, had a good marriage and loved each other and yet took it for granted and forget about it and just on with the day and just do the stuff and get through the chores and schedule the meetings and the hana.
Yeah.
And then there's these little issues that you've overlooked and you forgave, but maybe you didn't quite forgive. And there's some crusty bits hanging out, and it just builds up kind of a callus. And I've never found a way in normal life to chip away all of that cruft. But I'll tell you, facing Aubrey's impending death, we chipped away all of that cruft. We talked about all the words that needed to be said. We talked about every forgiveness that needed to be given, every regret. Oh, my goodness. There are so many regrets.
Yeah.
There are just so many layers of regret.
Wow.
About, I could have said that one thing to you, or what if we had taken this other direction in life, or why wasn't I more kind to you in that one situation, or why did you say that one thing to me? You know, just so many layers.
Right.
And we just, you know, in the end, side note, her cancer turned out not to be the cancer we thought it was at first, and she ended up living a year and a half in the hospital, basically. Hmm. So we kept up this practice for a year and a half, in and out of the operating room and in and out of, you know, ongoing death scares, and she kept just surviving. And so we just kept having these 5-minute increments.
Wow.
And we created a level of depth that I've never experienced with anybody. I now know is possible. And I try to bring into my life and continually fail. I continually fail at being able to do it.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous to me. You know, and then I have a new relationship now.
Yeah.
And that experience impacts the relationship as well.
Yeah.
In some interesting ways.
Yeah.
And one of those, you know, the obvious is that, you know, Aubrey, my deceased wife, is always in me. She's always in my spirit. So the relationship in some ways always has to account for that.
Yeah.
But also, I'll tell you one thing I have brought out of those conversations with her. I know the kind of depth that is possible, and I also know that the dishes don't matter.
Yeah.
You know, I know that the little baloney, just, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
What matters is the depth of the love that I can share with this woman. Yeah. End of story. Wow.
A powerful place to go on a break.
All right.
We'll be back, right back with your Leaking Timeline.
Appliances can't handle the holiday hosting heat? December deal drops at Lowe's makes upgrading easy. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members save an additional $40 on the Whirlpool electric range and the over-the-range microwave. Plus, get up to 60% off select ladders so you can deck all the halls. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/10 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details.
Keep listening for details on how to get up to $300 airline credit. Sky Holidays introduces a one-of-a-kind air credit program. Our buying team got a little too aggressive in getting hotel and air deals, so now we have to liquidate our prices. Here's how. Whether you want to go to Paris, Las Vegas, London, Atlanta, Hawaii, or anywhere else in the world, we have amazing deals. Book a selected hotel and we'll give you up to $300 airline credit. Now you can book your vacation and get a free credit to use towards airline travel. We'll book both, airline and hotel, with one simple phone call. We have access to most airlines and deals on thousands and thousands of places to stay. Call right now, book your hotel rooms, claim your airline credit. You can change or modify it at any time. 800-256-4816. 800-256-4816. That's 800-256-4816. Packages start at $29.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details. Terms and conditions apply.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. Now you can get Vivint's award-winning home security systems starting at about $1 a day. U.S. News & World Report has recognized Vivint as the best professionally installed home security system of 2022. too. And right now, you can get Vivint's home security technology for about $1 a day. Plus, get free professional installation from a licensed technician. Protect your home and loved ones for as low as $1 a day. Call right now for your free home security consultation.
800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. 800-918-6189. That's 800-918-6189.
Kohl's Customer Appreciation Event is here, right in time for the gift exchange. Even though everyone pretends gifting isn't a competition, it kinda is. At Kohl's, save on gifts everyone will fight over. From sweaters and flannels to air fryers, toaster ovens, and more. Because deep down, the gift exchange isn't just about giving. It's also about winning. Shop Kohl's and save on top gifts now. Select styles. Some exclusions apply. Offers end December 14th. See store or kohls.com for details.
Welcome back to Leaking Timeline with Eric and Guy. If you'd like to join the conversation about death today, 800-878-7529. I know it's a tricky conversation, to be honest, and I also know that you have probably lost somebody, and that is awful, and I'm sorry, and if you want to talk about it, give us a call.
So, Eric, you know, I'd love to talk with you about, you know, and you shared some of this with me, you know, as we get closer to death, it does something to our relationship to life. It reveals something about life, like by getting close to death. And I'm wondering, for your wife, what became clear to her?
Oh.
Right? What did she understand? Like, what did she realize that wasn't important? Like,
yeah.
What were some of the things that you understood about that, or that was true for her?
You know, through most of that year and a half, she was focused, not 95%, 99.999% on surviving. She had it in her bones that she was going to survive. In fact, we finished the last round of chemo and flew off to... finished the last round of chemo. She's in the worst physical state she's ever been in her life. And we flew off to Nashville to do a 10-day photo shoot with Dolly Parton. My wife was a photographer. And she was such a warrior, and she didn't kind of care that she was in pain and weak. She was just going to get on with life. And we got back from that photo shoot and went in to get the results of a PET scan, which is the last scan to see if the cancer had gotten knocked back by the chemo, and it hadn't gotten knocked back. In fact, it had gotten worse. And it was then that the oncologist really, they don't do the whole, hey, you've got a 30% chance in 2 months to live thing. In my experience, they don't do that anymore. I don't know if that was ever done, but it didn't do it with Aubrey. But it was at that last meeting I had to pull the data out of him, and he said, we've had three patients in all of history who've had this collection of ailments, and none of them made it. So that was when she really, really, I think, the first time opened herself to the possibility that she might actually not make it. And I don't know what I expected her to do, but I'll tell you what she didn't. She didn't go into a depression. She flipped into something else that still blows me away. She started talking about love. And my wife was not a woo-woo person.
She wasn't one that floated around talking about love most of the time.
Never addressed that kind of topic, and definitely not in the broader spiritual philosophical sense. You know, like, I love you, honey, sure, but not in the love is all we need kind of, right? So she starts talking about love. And she starts talking about how the only thing that matters, and she starts repeating this all the time, she goes, the only thing that matters is the quality of the time that you spend with the people you love. Hmm. And she started saying it to me all the time, almost as if it was a way for her to root it down into her reality. And she started talking about how if she got out of this, she wasn't going to be a photographer anymore. She was going to open up a store where we got a little community and yada, yada. Everything was about community. And then one day we'd moved down into intensive care, which from the oncology ward down to the intensive care ward, which is not a place you go lightly. You know, you go into ICU, basically people in ICU are, it's pretty much the end. But she was still conscious. We moved down to intensive care, and I just notice any time a human being of any type would walk into that room, Aubrey would turn to them with the most full, complete, profound attention I have ever seen any human give to anyone else, ever, bar none. She gave everybody, it didn't matter who they were or what they were there for, her absolute complete self. And then the magic of that was you could see it in her face. She would just fall in love with them.
Wow.
She fell in love with every person who walked into that room. And it changed everybody who was under her gaze.
Huh.
You felt held and loved and seen and accepted and appreciated. When I remember it, it couldn't possibly have been this, but when I remember it, she's like in a spotlight of glowing, you know, she's like in a spotlight of sunshine. And I, you know, that's my memory enhancing it. I'm not saying there was some divine spotlight of whatever, but
yeah, what was when I mean for you, like what I'm present to what you're describing, but I'm also present to like what was that like for you? Like how did you think about that or how did you experience that at the time watching this miraculous, unfathomable thing going on?
So many things. You know, I've had my own spiritual experiences, but they haven't really been around the notion of love for me.
Mm-hmm.
I've always kind of interpreted the deeper questions around the notion of truth and the whole ego death thing we were talking about before and allowing and like peace. Mm-hmm. It's never really been around love.
Yeah.
And honestly, I always kind of thought it was a bit silly.
Yeah.
You know, not silly, but maybe it was a bit made up.
Yeah.
Or a bit affected. It was a bit affected.
Yeah.
And then I saw her just being it. Hmm. Not even doing it, just
being it.
Being it. I was like, it was one of those, it was like you can't even know a thing, and you can't even recognize a thing until you just actually experience it. And then it changed me forever.
Yeah.
It was through her completely surrendering to who people were in the moment and just completely allowing them and then falling in love with them and then showing me that it was possible to actually love at that level.
Mm-hmm.
That then I realized, oh my God, you can do that. You can do that. It is actually possible. It is actually possible to love at that level. And Then you know, I my whole thing was like, I got to share this, I got to do this, I got to do that. And after she died, I really have tried to bring that level of love to my engagements with people. In fact, my license plate now, I know I'm such a dork, says love to you. But I notice I don't. You know, I know it's possible. I've seen it occur. Yeah. I've been able to do it a few times. I do it with my daughter. I do it with my daughter all the time. But in the rest of the world, I don't. There's always a thing stopping me, and I can see it, my brother. I know exactly what it is. I can name it. It's just fear. Huh. It's just fear.
Huh. And so fear stops. Fear. What you're saying is that when you say, all right, I'm going to be this way. I'm going to be Aubrey. Like...
Or I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to allow that kind of love. You know, if I look at it, yes, when I look at it, just to explain what you're asking a little bit with more depth, when I look at the love that she was doing, it's pretty clear to me it was that she opened herself to people without sort of adding in her own interpretations or judgments about them. She just let them be exactly who they were, and in doing that, fell in love with them, because actually people are very lovable if you allow them to be who they are,
right?
Without adding in your own stuff. Like, that's really clear to me. I know the technique. I do it with my daughter. When I do it with my daughter, it's obvious.
Yeah.
Right? And then, but for example, looking at you right now, I'm talking, so I'm trying to like tell a story, and that's taking me a little bit out of the present moment. But the only reason I don't fully just allow myself to fall in love with you every single second I'm looking at you is some kind of fear about what might happen. It's like tipping over the edge of a roller coaster, you know? Mm. It's like, I don't want to, and then you got to let yourself go. And then when you do, it's actually beautiful.
Yeah.
It's actually so beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm just so struck these days by the inevitability of my own death and the finitude of what's left, this life I've got. I'm old, my friend, in some ways. Yeah. And I am not going to be here. And what am I even doing if I'm not allowing that kind of experience?
Right.
And this leads me to a little thing. Our good friend Scott, right after Aubrey's death, gave me this coin I'm holding up here. It's a silver memento mori, you know, the skull on it. And you're supposed to use it to remember you're going to die. And I didn't really carry it around because I didn't want to remember that at first. And I've started carrying it around lately. And it's so powerful.
Hmm.
You know, to be just going about my life, getting caught up in the baloney. And I reach into my pocket and I feel this little coin. And then I remember, oh, yeah, my brother, my dude, you are going to die.
Yeah.
You're going to die, my brother. It's okay. Yeah. You're going to die. What do you want to do with what's left? Do you want to be angry at the DMV?
Right.
Like, really?
Yeah.
With what's left, you want to put that? You want to be caught up in the social media thing of whatever it is?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm at with it right now. And this is the time your Aubrey died, so I'm trying to proactively, you know, sit with that a bit lately.
Yeah. Yeah. Just in talking about it and presencing it, I'm wondering, does that love feel closer?
You know, it's admitting to you that it's like, hey, I could be in love with you, but I'm scared.
Yeah.
Makes it seem so silly.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not so scared, actually. Yeah. It's like, I do love that about fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just bringing it to light and acknowledging it.
Yeah. Besides that, I'm so lovable, right?
I know. You're so lovable.
Yeah, that fear. So, you know, one thing I'm just really present to is it sounds like in the way that death showed itself for you, and I think for a lot of people, right, is that when you get near it, you start loving, right? Or when you're present to it, right, it becomes obvious the only thing to do is to love.
Yeah.
Death and love. It's interesting. I don't know exactly what to make of that, right? But I'm just noticing it right now.
What is that? It's like everything comes into more focus when you realize you're going to...
Yeah.
They or you are going to be gone. I don't know why that leads to love.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good place to take a break.
You got it.
Let's come back and talk more about death on your leaking timeline after these messages.
special alert for consumers struggling to pay taxes. There are new tax regulations, not published yet. We have the inside track on your new tax savings. These programs are designed to help struggling taxpayers like you. The COVID relief programs are gone, but there are new programs to help struggling taxpayers. And we have the inside track. Call now and we'll take you through these new programs. These taxpayer savings programs have never been available until now. Get out of tax trouble now. It doesn't take weeks. It can happen in one phone call. Call now and get the inside track to get rid of your tax problems.
Call the tax helpline now. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. 800-949-0039. That's 800-949-0039.
If you've got a property that you've been trying to sell and you've tried almost everything, I want to tell you about something that you haven't tried yet. You're going to think this offer is too good to be true, but it's not. Thousands of customers have sold their homes in any condition with Need to Sell My Home. This is a real opportunity from a highly rated company that buys homes all over the country. Did you know it's possible to sell your home right over the phone with no real estate commissions and no pesky open houses? Plus, every offer is a cash offer with no mortgage holdups. To find out how much you can sell your home or property for, call now. Take 5 minutes of your time and call for this 100% free quote to sell your home.
800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. 800-430-0674. That's 800-430-0674.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. 800-245-2751. That's 800-245-2751. Paid for by the Pharmacy Shop.
Welcome back to the Leaking Timeline with Eric and Guy. We're talking about death today. You know, we're going to have to wrap the show here pretty soon, but we're going to extend the conversation as per usual on the podcast. And if you want to listen to the podcast portion of the show, as I've mentioned several times before, we're going to drop all of them at once after we've got a couple more episodes in the can. And you'll be able to find those at leakingtimeline.com, our very minimalist, no-frills website with, if I may so say so, a pretty funny little animation. So check it out, leakingtimeline.com. So yeah, Guy, we're talking about death today. We got a couple more minutes here.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm struck by, death is no more clear to me than it was, right? I don't have any idea what it is. But I'm really struck by, this conversation has me see that there's some connection between our finitude and our ability to love, right? And that's striking to me. Like, it makes me just want to keep looking at it.
Yeah, you were saying at the break, it's like, wait, it's like, why is it that when we're confronted with death, where we go is love? Like, there's so many places, I can see why you would go to appreciation more, or, you know, like the value of your time increases because there's less of it.
Yeah.
But why does it go to love of all things?
Like, yeah.
What's that about?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, without even trying to define it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what is it about when we're far away from death, right? Where love seems to, you know, lessen, or we're not deeply, we don't love as much. Like,
yeah, we don't spend as much
effort.
Yeah.
Creating this thing that is, in fact, so precious.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's explore that. And I also want to explore the completeness of death in the podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
And by the way, your Twitter is?
Oh, yeah. At Newton Law.
And reach me at circlinginstitute.com.
All right. We'll see you guys next week. Same time, same channel.